Everybody in life is challenged to how far we will fulfill our own potential. Let's talk about this today. Welcome to All Things Apostolic. Welcome to All Things Apostolic for October the 21st. We're glad that you're with us. We're here every week, and we enjoy being with you. We hope that this is a blessing to you. Sometimes we give, well, almost always, we give some good reports of good things that are happening. But then other times we cover sometimes some pretty sobering subjects. And so we're glad you're here. It's kind of a magazine format. But today, sometimes I'm speaking to you off of things that I'm experiencing at the previous week or during that time, and utilizing that as a springboard to talk about things that we think are important in terms of the ongoing work of God and you and I being effective and successful in life, which is a big deal to us. I'm kind of laughing about the big deal in life, that being effective and being the best us that we can be. As you know, one of the things here at Wilson University is that our motto, and this is now a motto that is as relevant today as it was when we first used it over 40 years ago. And that is helping people become. And then the become doesn't have a period. It has like dot, 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 helping people become. Become what? Become. Become is a big subject. And become has variations between you and I and other people. And so it's helping people find areas that God has given them a passion for. And sometimes you have to help them find the path to passion. So there's a whole lot to it in developing people. It's part of our, it's not just a philosophy. It's a philosophy based on a theological position. And it's philosophy based on theology. So the theology that it's based upon is that we believe man's made in the image of God. We believe that man is fallen, which now leaves this gap between man made in the image of God and man as we find him down here, okay? And you and I are keenly aware of our shortcomings. And so we're also keenly aware of frustrations that come trying to climb the ladder to get up here. This is found in everywhere. The drive to do this establishes a lot of things in life. Even games are part of that. So a little boy will play hours of baseball. When I was just a boy, all the way back, the first time I remember getting serious about this is when I was 10 years old. And every day after school, I would play basketball. And then when it was baseball season, every day after school, I would play baseball. And then when it was football season, every day after school, we'd play football. And gradually, we got better. And so when you're hitting the ball, you finally start keeping, like in baseball, you finally start keeping score as to how many times you're at bat and how many times you get a hit and how many times you strike out and so forth. And so how many times you walk. But there's a percentage. And so the perfect percentage was every time that I swing the bat, I get a hit. That would take me from my finite fallen self in that area, physical area, up into the perfection of the image of God that never misses. Perfect. I'm a perfect specimen of a ball hitter. So people get in the Hall of Fame for hitting one less than one third of the time. So if a person hits 300% or 30% of the time they hit the ball, then they are considered to be among the best in the world. So you can see how we have to lower the standards to be realistic. And you say, well, how did they get to 300? Well, it's because all the other people in the world can't hit at 300. So the guy that can hit at 300, he is the best in the world. So one guy years ago hit at 400. So, but that was unusual. Nobody's ever done it since. So that'd be 4 out of 10. The really good guys hit 3 out of 10. Professionals usually hit about 2.5 out of 10, 2.7 out of 10. So it shows you our shortcomings. Well, that's in games, and people work hard to get better in games. Any of those games, basketball, if a guy can shoot from 24 feet and hit 40% of the shots, he is in the Hall of Fame. 4 out of 10. So this is, and you could go to all the others. A quarterback, if he can throw the ball and complete 2/3 of the passes, he's a pro. So all of this reflects, and we really get proud, you know. People get proud. They get millions of dollars if they can do those things. And they're only hitting 3 out of 10 or 4 out of 10. Or if he's throwing the ball, 6 out of 10. So, you know, really I'd say, hey, Doc, that's really not something to be proud of. I mean, you're better than everybody else, but that's not saying much. So those same things, though, apply to more important areas of life for most of us. And that is in improving that part of our life, which is most of the time more important in terms of determining our future than the physical. And that is the mental, the intellectual, the emotional, the spiritual. Those are things that take it up another level. And when you get into that area, like in ministry, there are people that are preaching that have never had any formal training about the Bible at all. And some people have trained themselves. Other people just don't have much training. So when they're preaching, they will either tell stories about themselves or other people and then make an application off of that. Or they will tell Bible stories. Or they will exhort and encourage. All of this is got a place. It's all got a place. But in terms of the profundity of power that's found in preaching the Word of God, expositionally and anointedly, and that word coming into us, like coming landing in our heart in a dynamic and powerful way, is a whole different story. But you can't do that. Some people play basketball all day and then go preach in the pulpit and never whisper a word of prayer. There's people that, there are preachers that are businessmen. If you have to be a businessman to start a church, that's one thing. But if you've been pastor of a church for years and years and you're still a businessman, God bless you. I have no bone to pick. I'm just saying that's another thing. And I would say that that would need a pretty deep examination whether or not we will ever reach our full potential in preaching. I'm thinking of a man that was very judgmental of everybody else. He was a preacher. But when he came in to service at night to preach, he would get in 5 minutes before service started. He would go to the platform. He would open his Bible, and he would start shuffling the pages, which was obvious to everybody. He's trying to find something to preach. And it was never very much that he preached. It would always either be you got to obey me, the pastor, or some other such. Because he spent it, his first drive in life was to make money. Well, somebody said you can't serve God and mammon. Seemed like somebody said that. But you have this is what's even developing in the apostolic movement. It's an amazing thing to watch is that if you push for us to give God our very best, and you push for world-class leadership, we're going to give God everything. We're going to develop ourselves to the max. Here's a place, Wilson University or other things that will help develop you. But it requires that you get some discipline, and requires that you study, and it requires. Well, there's people that find reasons to say, no, we don't want to do that. And people can be moderately successful in like building a congregation in some cases, if they're smart and if they got good people skills and if they have a modicum of organizational ability and especially if they have a really sharp spouse that is attractive to people and loves people. And I mean, so they can build well, and then they look and say, well, see, we've got this. This is doing pretty good. But not realizing if you're a person that's got all that together and then you maximize that, what would come out of that for the kingdom of God's sake? So we have this clash that's going on. Now, part of the clash may be individual personalities. And if that's the case, for my part, I apologize up front. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what ought to determine these things. About working together and about becoming everything we can become for God. Instead of just ho-hum, this is the way we've done this since my dad did it and my grandpa. This is, but they did a lot of things that you could do better because you've got them and then you've got tools today, for example, to study that they did not have. So don't count yourself as being top-notch if you're just trying to reach the level of your grandpa, because your grandpa did not have some advantages that are there today for you. And especially if your grandpa was a great man and you're less, then you need to be thinking, if you're called to preach or called to ministry of any kind, then God, what about me? What about me? And most of the times it's that we don't recognize and we have not taken the plunge of ultimate commitment to God. God, my life is yours from here on. I'm going down this road and I'm going to accomplish this. So which camp are you going to be in? That's the question. Are you going to be in the camp that excuses their shortcomings and lack of commitment to personal development and spiritual formation, personal, individual spiritual formation? Are you going to concede? There's a lot of really important things in the Bible, but I don't know very many of them. But I know enough to get by. Is that where we're going to stop? Or are we going to go forward? So from our vantage point, we are pushing. We are pushing. And if that bothers you, then I don't know what to tell you. I do know what to tell you. That bothering may be God saying, come on, get on board. Let's do this together. Let's give our best to Jesus Christ. Let's don't make excuses. Let's don't criticize other people that are doing their best to give their best to Jesus Christ. Let's just walk forward in the Spirit. And that's All Things Apostolic for this Monday.